Rocket Racing League says it's still in business. NASA picks a date for the first test launch of the Ares 1X. And a big jet biofuel contract is signed. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, September 24th, 2009. The Las Cruces, New Mexico City Council set off rumors Monday when it voted unanimously to terminate four leases for hangar parcels at Las Cruces International Airport. The tenant? Rocket Racing League. The city took the action after the league was unable to complete construction of hangars on the parcels under the terms of its 2006 lease, despite a 30-day extension of the deadline. Leases on two other parcels where hangar construction was started but not completed are still in effect for now. The story seeded rumors that the league might be nearing Tango uniform status. Michael D'Angelo, the league's chief operating officer, responded late yesterday to media inquiries with an official statement which reads, in part, quote, "As you may be aware, in May we closed a $5-plus million financing round. The Rocket Racing League made a strategic business decision to forego the building of hangars on the leased parcels in favor of investing available resources in technology development, including enhancements to aircraft and rocket engine design, raceway avionics, and gaming elements. The Rocket Racing League acknowledges and appreciates the 3 years of partnership shared with the Las Cruces International Airport, the city of Las Cruces, the state of New Mexico, and, most importantly, the local fans in the community in and surrounding Las Cruces. We anticipate that when the time is right, Las Cruces will be among the cities we look at for rolling out key segments of the league." Unquote. NASA is targeting Tuesday, October 27th for the test flight of the Ares 1X rocket, pending successful testing and data verification. The launch window will extend from 8 a.m. till noon Eastern Time, with another window the next day. Technicians at Kennedy have completed the assembly of the rocket on a mobile launch platform. This week, the team is conducting a launch countdown simulation and conducting final systems checks. The rocket is scheduled to roll out to Kennedy's Launch Pad 39B on October 19th. Given the criticism of the program, much will be riding on this test launch. BioJet Corporation and E85 LLC jointly announced this week that they have executed a BioSPK forward contract for the sale by BioJet and purchase by E85 of 4 million barrels of aviation biojet fuel. BioSPK is now the proper aviation industry term for biojet fuel. The SPK stands for synthetic paraffinic kerosene. The fuel delivered under this contract will meet new ASTM international standards expected to be finalized by the end of 2010. Other than quantity, the terms of the contract were undisclosed. BioJet CEO Mitch Hawkins commented, quote, "This contract is a milestone. To our knowledge, it is by far the largest sale of biojet fuel to date and demonstrates the commercial viability of our value chain integration model," unquote. Hawkins adds that his company is fundamentally agnostic about which feedstocks to use to produce that fuel, but he believes Jatropha will be the stock of choice for now. Quote, "Hence, we already control millions of barrels of Jatropha feedstock," unquote. Up next on ANN, Colorado DOT and the FAA introduce wide area multilateration. An airport surface detection system called IntelliDAR gets tested at Teterboro. And the FAA is placing next-gen specialists at every flight standards regional office. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher-performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 24th. I'm Paul Plack. Someday, ADS-B will allow air traffic controllers to assist aircraft in mountainous areas invisible to them now. In the meantime, a new surveillance system introduced by the FAA in Colorado allows air traffic controllers to track aircraft not visible to radar in remote areas. It's called Wide Area Multilateration, or WAM. A series of small devices installed in radar-shadowed areas send out signals that trigger responses from aircraft transponders. Those responses are then analyzed based on their precise arrival times at the various sensors in the network, determining the aircraft's exact position. That information is then integrated and displayed on ATC screens, just as if the blips were created by normal radar. The FAA and the Colorado Department of Transportation are sharing the costs of the test. Initial operations began September 12th at Yampa Valley Hayden, Craig Moffett, Steamboat Springs, and Garfield County Regional Rifle Airports. The mountains in those areas are popular ski destinations but make radar coverage impossible. So, why the effort if ADS-B will be up and running nationwide by 2013? Well, two reasons. WAM will serve as a backup to ADS-B in the event of a GPS outage, and it'll work with current transponders, allowing controllers to see legacy aircraft that won't be equipped in time for ADS-B. The FAA will evaluate the system at the four Colorado airports before deciding on further deployment. It seems as if the FAA is busy lately testing new stuff. The agency has selected the Sea Ridge Technologies Intelligent Video-Based Surface Management System, called IntelliDAR, to provide runway light automation at the Teterboro Airport in New Jersey. Teterboro is the oldest functioning airport in the New York City metro and is one of the most active general aviation airports in the U.S. Donald Gallagher, FAA Technical Center Visual Guidance Program Manager, predicts, quote, "If successful, operational specifications for such a system will be developed," unquote. IntelliDAR uses thermal video sensors and advanced computer vision technology to provide radar-like tracking of aircraft on the airport surface and control threshold runway lights. Nav Canada is among previous customers for the system. The FAA's safety organization is locating next-gen specialists at every flight standards regional office to bring the safety workforce up to speed on new high-tech systems. The next-gen liaisons will facilitate understanding of the big picture and make sure the FAA's safety workforce sees, knows, and understands where the agency is headed with next-gen. FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt observes, quote, "Let's face it, equipment and procedures aren't going to amount to much if the players don't know where it all fits and how it all works. I'm going to make sure that when next-gen shows up at the door, our safety workforce knows exactly what's in the box," unquote. That could be a good trick. Exactly what will be in that box is not yet fully defined. Still ahead, Pratt & Whitney will cut another 1,000 jobs. The Teamsters asked members to authorize a strike against Flight Options LLC. And there's been yet another nighttime laser attack on a police helicopter. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WAAS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin WAAS GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, September 24th. I'm Paul Plack. Pratt & Whitney says it will cut 1,000 jobs from its two Connecticut locations as it transfers that work to plants in Columbus, Georgia, Singapore, and Japan. The Associated Press reports the company is ending 2 years of negotiations with its machinists by closing its plant in Cheshire, Connecticut, despite an offer from the state of $100 million in incentives to keep the jobs there. The cuts amount to about 9% of Pratt & Whitney's workforce. Employment peaked in the 1960s when the engine maker had over 20,000 workers. Company officials blame the latest cuts on a reduced demand for jetliners and the engines that power them. The company dropped 200 salaried jobs, mostly from East Hartford, in June, and announced in August it would be closing its Indianapolis plant. Teamsters Local 1108 has been negotiating for over 3 years to get a first contract for pilots at Flight Options LLC, a fractional company in Cleveland, Ohio. Now, after meeting in Washington, D.C. with company reps and a federal mediator, the union is going to ask its members for authorization to strike. Under terms of the Railway Labor Act, the National Mediation Board will call on both sides to enter arbitration. If either side refuses, negotiations are declared at impasse, and after a 30-day cooling-off period, pilots could legally strike. Ballots were distributed on Monday, and results will be counted on October 19th. If a majority says strike, union negotiators will carry that extra clout into one last bargaining session with the company that starts on October 26th. And finally today, there must be something missing in the communication between laser manufacturers and their customers. The Associated Press reports that 22-year-old Jared Shapiro was arrested in Columbus, Ohio Sunday for shining a laser into the cockpits of a medical services helicopter and later a police helicopter sent to investigate the first incident. Shapiro allegedly aimed a laser sight from a high-powered rifle scope at the two aircraft. That police pilot coordinated with officers on the ground to locate the suspect and place him under arrest. Shapiro has been charged with interfering with the operation of an aircraft with a laser, which is a second-degree felony. Guys who shop at office supply stores for lasers to amuse their cats and hunters buying rifle scopes probably don't hear these Aerocasts, because this just keeps happening. Maybe we'll have to solve this problem the old-fashioned FAA way. Although I'm not really sure how you mount a placard to a laser and still get the rifle in the carrying case. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Tom Turner, Manager of Technical Services for the American Bonanza Society, talks about the unique benefits offered by the society to its members and, indirectly, to members of other type clubs. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.